It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, The 99 Restaurants, Zing Zang Cocktail in the Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a little pop-up, backing out Bogarts. He's got it, and the Red Sox win the ball game by a final score of 2-0. They won every series out here on the West Coast, despite some injuries. They're coming home 8-2 on this trip.
Sounds like a reason to celebrate 8-2. Under normal circumstances, you would say, oh, that's a great trip. And it was a great trip. I don't want to take that away from the Red Sox. 8-2 is 8-2. But why am I so focused on Saturday night? Can someone explain that to me? Why am I still so focused on Saturday night? And many of you probably didn't even see the game, so I'm going to give you a little bit of the details, and then we're going to talk about it. 617-779-0985 here on the Baseball Hour. Jim Murray is alongside. We will be with you until 7 o'clock. And let me just say, we have a full week of shows, what's remaining of it. I was obviously out yesterday at the Station Golf Tournament, which we'll get to in the next. If we don't get to it tonight, we'll get to it tomorrow, because there are a number of people I would like to thank. But that aside, Thursday night, because of Game 6 between the Celtics in the Golden State Warriors at TD Garden, we will have extended Celtics programming on from 6 to 7. So there will be no Baseball Hour on Thursday this week. The point being, if you want to talk baseball, now is your time. Again, 617-779-0985. Let me start with this trip, because the Red Sox went 8-2 on a West Coast trip, which to me is hard to fathom. I don't remember them ever doing this before. I'm sure they have, and I'm not looking for people to give me history lessons, but the point is 8-2 on a West Coast trip is usually a pretty good indication or a barometer, if you are the Red Sox, that things are going well and probably going to continue to go well based on history. Okay, that's just my gut feeling on it. Again, I don't have any data to support it or prove it. Facts be damned, Murray. I just tell you what I feel.
No, it's a type of road trip that if they came back 6-4, most people would be like, hey, that was great. To be 8-2 on that 10-gamer, that's no small thing.
Now, the trip started with Oakland, who's dog food.
Well, yeah, they stink.
But. Yeah, and Oakland's in here again tonight for three, starting tonight for three games. So you'll get the A's again. But even though the Angels had lost 14 straight, and I know that's kind of a big asterisk, that's sort of a significant thing to overlook. The games were all competitive. The Red Sox pulled them out. And I would say the games in Seattle were all competitive, and they pulled out 2 out of 3. They won 3 out of 4 in Anaheim. They won 2 out of 3 in Seattle. But Saturday night is still the one that sticks with me. Saturday night is still the one that bugs the crap out of me. And I don't. If you've watched this team at all this year, I don't know that how you could feel any differently. So for those of you who weren't paying attention, and I don't blame you, again, West Coast games in the middle of the NBA Finals, the Red Sox went ahead in the top of the ninth inning on a home run by Bobby Dalbec. Two outs, bases empty, in a 5-5 game. Dalbec homers to left field on a ball that deflects off the glove of the outfielder. Jesse Winker jumped up at the wall. It hit his glove. goes over the wall for a home run. Now you're up 6-5. So the Red Sox in position to win this game. Because Tanner Houck pitched the night before, Hansel Robles was the closer. There is then one out. Base is empty in the ninth. Robles walks a guy, gives up a single. There is now a pinch runner put aboard. Robles gets the next guy out in a line drive to right field. Then gives up two consecutive singles to lose the game 6-5. The point is, the Red Sox blew another save on Saturday night. And listen to this stat, Murray. Okay, listen to this one. Those of you out there who want to understand why the Red Sox are where they are, which right now, again, is back in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, unless Cleveland leapfrogged them again last night. But even so, the Red Sox are right on the cusp of that playoff spot. And so, but if you want to wonder, or if you do wonder, rather, why the Red Sox are where they are, and right now they are the third wildcard team, albeit by a half game over the Guardians, who actually have two fewer losses than the Red Sox do. This year, the Red Sox have lost 9 times. 9! When tied or leading after the eighth inning. 9 games. The Yankees, at the same point in time, had lost twice. Tampa Bay had lost 4 times. Toronto had lost 5. That is a combined 11 losses for the other 3 playoff contenders in the division. The Red Sox have 9. They have blown almost as many games when leading or tied after the eighth inning as the other 3 teams in the division combined. I don't count Baltimore. That is a freaking train wreck. And that speaks to what, honestly, I'm starting to feel like is organizational negligence. Whether you want to blame ownership or baseball ops or whoever, how can you possibly look at the Red Sox bullpen and the problems they've had and feel like they've made an honest effort to address them?
No, they haven't, and that's it's not too far to say it's negligent, because closer by committee doesn't work, and that's what they're dealing with right now. You've lived through that. It ultimately blows up in your face. And so that number of 9, all right, it's 12 blown saves too, right?
Oh, I think it's even higher.
Okay, but still, like, so, you know, just looking at it, if you win, had they taken care of this and won 5, maybe 6 of those games, you're like 8 games above 500, and you're firmly in one of those better wild card spots. And you're not, like, in that third spot, or, you know, worrying where you're going to be in the grand scheme of things, and having to worry about, you know, when you've got to go up, just look at their schedule, when they get the Rays and Yankees going to the All-Star game. Like, you'd like to think they have a stronger bullpen by that point, but they probably won't. They're just throwing crap against the wall and hoping that one of these guys sticks, whether it's Robles or, you know, it's spin the wheel of gutless bums. That's what that was on Saturday night, and it shouldn't be, because, or maybe put Whitlock back in there. I don't know. But right now, this isn't going to work. It's not sustainable.
Murray, it is not only is it not sustainable, it ultimately is their fatal flaw, and it has been and will undermine them. So let me explain to you what I find most infuriating about this whole thing. At the start of last year, you know what one of the Red Sox chief concerns was? Their bullpen. By the time they got to the middle of the season, they acquired 2 relievers at the deadline, Austin Davis and Hansel Robles. Okay, 2 small-time pickups. And that was knowing that Matt Barnes had already sort of gone into the, you know, the dark ages again. Matt Barnes had completely gone belly up on them at that point. And Garrett Whitlock was still a rookie. But even so, the point is they did nothing at the deadline. Barnes had a horrible second half. Then they went into the offseason, knowing that their bullpen was bad, knowing that the bullpen was the number one priority, the number one need, and did nothing again. So now Barnes comes out and pitches badly. And again, he was a guy that was using some of the adhesive and has never sort of gotten back on the rails from that thing. Or at least we believe that he's a guy that was using some of the adhesive. But whatever it is, it has completely derailed the guy. Matt Barnes has not been the same pitcher now for closing in on a year. He's not even with the team at the moment. But the point is, that happened. Whitlock has been put into the rotation. So the bullpen is now worse than it was a year ago. How How can the Red Sox justify that, not only to the fan base, but to the other players on the club, to the coaching staff, to anybody that's invested in it at all? How do you justify that? It's a bullpen-driven game now. It's a bullpen-driven league, particularly in the world of analytics. And you just kind of pick up pieces off the scrap heap with the idea of patching your bullpen together? And you know what bugs me most about it? They went 8-2. And so they're going to say, well, it doesn't matter how you lose the games. 8-2 is good. We'll take 8-2. As if it's all just some sort of mathematical formula. And you don't have to really even examine the emotional impact or the morale impact of some of these losses. Because I think they're significant. Their bullpen is not good enough. It's really not even close. And the fact that they are still blowing games, and they have blown 9 games now, 9, when tied or leading after the 8th inning, really should infuriate you. I mean, to me, it is remains the number one issue on the team. And again, borders on negligence if it's not negligence right out. That to me is inexcusable, that you'd have what you have invested in this team and you're trying to patch it in the bullpen to the point where Tanner Houck is now just trying to establish himself as a starter. Speaking of which, I have a comment that Alex Cora made after Houck recorded the save on Friday night that I want to share with you. We'll get to your phone calls. And yes, we will also look back upon the good things that happened in that 10-game road trip, particularly on Sunday. The end of that game, if you missed it, was absolutely positively riveting. It was fabulous theater. We'll get to all that next on the Baseball Hour.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Robles home with an 0-2 pitch. And a line drive in the left center field. Jackie with a dive, can't get it, and that's the ball game. Seattle comes from behind to win it 7-6. They walk it off here with 2 down in the 9th inning. Robles giving up 3 hits and walking a man in the 9th. And Dylan Moore stinging a line shot to win it for Seattle.
Well, the Red Sox lived on the edge last night, and they lived to tell about it. But tonight, Robles walks a man with one out, triggers a Seattle rally here that ends with a 7-6 Mariners victory.
So again, that's the game I'm talking about. I know, it's a dink move. Red Sox go 8-2, and I focus on the second of the two losses from the weekend. And I'll tell you, because that's the one that ultimately is going to get in your way. The bullpen is a fatal flaw. It is a fatal flaw. It needs to be fixed. And Tanner Houck in the Anaheim series, or the night before, I should say, it was the Seattle series, the night before, earned his first save of the season in what, you know, I would call a traditional closing situation. Cora brought him in to pitch the 9th inning. It was a little bit bumpy, to say the least. Couple of base runners on, but Houck got the last guy to line out to Trevor Story to end the game and got the save. But Cora made a comment after the game that I couldn't help but read into, that I think illustrates how the Red Sox feel about the bullpen, or more importantly, how the front office feels about the bullpen, and how the Red Sox are going to win games late, at least as things are constituted right now. So I want to read this to you in a second, but first I'll take a couple of phone calls. We'll kick it off tonight with Nick, who's in Westport. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, man. So I am fully on board with you with this. It's totally okay to be talking about the bullpen being the problem, because it is the number one problem on the team. And quite frankly, it offends me. It's especially if it's coming from ownership that they're doing this with Whitlock and Houck, because I remember 10, 12 years ago when the same thing, the exact same crap happened with Daniel Bard. I thought he was going to be a good closer. He was the setup man for Paps. He was supposed to be the replacement. And for some reason,
Nick, I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second, okay? I'm just going to put you on hold for 1 second. I don't want to get to – Daniel Bard was a different case. And honestly, I don't think ownership is deciding whether a guy is being used as a starter or reliever. I think that one falls on baseball ops. Ownership might relate to how much money they're going to give the guy in a contract. But I don't think they're making decisions about we're going to use this guy as a closer or we're going to use this guy as a starter. I don't think they're doing that. But go ahead.
Okay, fair enough. Totally fair. I just hope that they don't do stuff like that with other players too, like the Benintendi situation with changing his swing. But without getting all into that, it just shows once again that the Red Sox have two guys on this team that potentially could be a closer or a setup guy in Houck and Whitlock, and dicking around with them in the rotation, trying to get them going because of contracts or promises or whatever the case may be. I just don't think it's a really smart move for this year, because both of those guys could help this team right now at the back end of the bullpen.
Okay, so Houck is in the back end of the bullpen now, so it makes me feel a little bit better. But the Whitlock thing, you want to talk about getting into a discussion about Whitlock and what has happened there. You had a guy that was one of the best relievers in the league, not just last year, at the start of this year. And I say the best relievers in baseball. Then they moved him to the rotation. Murray, you know what has happened to Garrett Whitlock since they put him in the rotation?
He got hurt.
And he's been average, relatively speaking. So you took a guy that was a legit weapon at the back end of your bullpen, put him into the rotation. Now he's hurt. Are those two things related? I believe they are.
Yeah, more workload, right?
I mean, it's hard to think they're not related when it happens that way. And Whitlock, I don't know when we're seeing him again. He was put on the 15-day IL. That's going to be a little while. And the last I saw him on that trip, and we all did, he was hobbling. He's got a limp.
The other one quickly that's starting to bug me too, so have you heard this or seen it floating around on social media, and especially now that he threw live BP, like, well, Chris Sale can maybe be a closer because they've been kicking this around. Maybe he can go in the bullpen. Like, I just think anything with Chris Sale is too much of an ask at this point. You'll see him whenever the hell you see him, whenever the hell that's going to be.
So that's another one, Murray, and also James Paxton, right? Sale has not been healthy now for 4 years. It's been 4 years since Chris Sale was healthy. James Paxton is where Sale was a year ago. We all know how Sale looked when he came back. He was fine, but he's not in any position to be some sort of dominant performer. And again, I think this is the new Red Sox way of doing things, where the trade deadline acquisitions are actually already in the organization, but now they're going to jump in the middle of the season. Because for whatever reason, they don't want to trade any minor leaguers whatsoever. At least not any minor leaguers of consequence. So here's how this relates to Alex Cora and what he said over the weekend. Houck got the save on Friday. I want you to listen to this comment and tell me if there's anything that sticks out about it to you. Okay, Alex Cora, after Tanner Houck got his first save on Friday, said, "We kept pushing for this. I just feel like where we're at pitching staff-wise, losing him for 3 or 4 days, parentheses, after a long relief outing, because Houck had been used to that point, basically 2 or 3 innings at a time. I just feel like where we're at pitching staff-wise, losing him for 3 or 4 days puts us in a bad spot. So let me read you the whole comment again. We kept pushing for this, Cora said. I just feel like where we're at pitching staff-wise, losing him for 3 or 4 days puts us in a bad spot. Anything strike you about the comment, Murray?
Yeah, I think the tonality there is a guy who's frustrated with the hand that he's been dealt with, that with who he's got in that bullpen. Okay. Where we're at, it was all a matter of time. It was all a matter of time before this thing blew up, and it's going to happen again unless something changes.
So here's the other part that struck me. We kept pushing for this. Pushing on who? Who are you pushing on? So the front office didn't want to put, you know, Bloom and baseball ops did not want to put Houck in a closer role because he doesn't give him as many innings? Is that the idea? Is this the logic that, again, at the end of the game, you say, well, he's only going to give you one inning as a closer. Why not have him pitch two or three innings twice a week, which is what they were doing with Whitlock early in the year? Then, curiously enough, they took Whitlock and flipped him to the rotation. What, so they could get more outs? So, again, you want to water it down now. So, because I think with the way the game is played now, the sixth through ninth innings are more important than the first through fifth. I think many people would agree with that. Starting pitching means less than ever before. So now, we kept pushing for this, Cora said. So that tells me that organizationally there's disagreement over how to use Tanner Houck, Garrett Whitlock, those guys. The manager wants bullpen help. The front office is telling him, no, we want these guys on longer roles. We want to get more outs, more innings to our best pitchers, which again makes sense in a math equation. In a math equation, it doesn't necessarily make sense on a baseball team where you got to nail down wins. This is why they have 9 losses in games in which they were tied or led after 8 innings. 9 losses. The Yankees have 2. That's a 7-game difference in the division. These are huge effing losses. Huge. They have undermined the team on the field in the first half. The idea that they're running it like a small market team. That should frustrate you to no end. Tom and Quincy. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, Tony, my frustration left the bond like 3 years ago. This is beyond that. It's beyond pissed. It's beyond everything. Is it? You said that if you think it might be organizational negligence, I think that is the understatement of the year. I think the whole problem with this team stems from when they got Bloom, solely based on now how he knows that how he can take down the payroll. So they don't find it worthy enough or valuable to pay a closer money. So they pick up all these guys you're talking about, the Austin Davises and the Robleses and a blah, 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 all of them, the same guy. They're all the same guy. So then they lock up Whitlock for a few years at $7 million, and they went, well, we can use him as a starter for $7 million instead of the $15 million he'd command if he was a full-time starter, instead of pitching him in the bullpen where he's more valuable. So they're saving money on the bullpen by giving nobody money out there, and they're saving money in the rotation by giving a starter $7 million, and now you got the guy on the DL and you don't know when the hell he's going to pitch again. Where does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense, Tom. It doesn't make sense. But I'll tell you, here's the part that worries me. Is it all money or is there something else at work there? In other words, is it all financial or is there an analytical element to it too of saying, again, I come back to that line, let's give more innings to our better pitchers, which means pitching them, you know, 2 or 3 innings in the bullpen instead of 1 inning, you know, 4 times a week. Is that what they're basing the decision on? The math. Purely on the math, because I look at that and say, well, that's fine, but who's going to pitch the ninth? How are you going to make that work again? Because when I look at, you know, when we talk about the money, and again, let's see how it shakes out after this year because they get a lot of guys coming off the books. But their luxury tax payroll is over $240 million. So they're fourth in baseball. The Yankees are at 260. The Dodgers are at 270. The Mets are at 292. So if you want to say that the Red Sox should be up closer to the Yankees or the Dodgers, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. But I would also tell you 242, it's not like they're 142. So what they've chosen to do, particularly when it comes to pitching, is to spread their money around weigh it so heavily on analytics that I think their baseball judgment's being compromised. I don't think it's just the economical factors. Jake Diekman got 2 years at $4 million per. Matt Barnes got a huge extension at, you know, $9 million per. and hasn't been the same pitcher since. So are they just going by the numbers and the math and not actually looking at the people? Because Diekman walks 7 guys per 9 innings, and he's been walking guys for years. Do you realize this year, and I think it's in 21 innings, he's allowed 18 walks and 2 hit batters. He is almost guaranteed on average, Diekman is, to put on a runner via walk or hit batter every time he comes into the game. Almost guaranteed. And they gave him $8 million over 2 years. I'm not telling you he was a $10 million reliever, but it's not like they signed him for $600,000. So I'm mystified at how they evaluate pitching. I've reached that point. And where they think these guys should be used. The idea that you don't have good arms at the back end of that bullpen, reliable strike-throwing arms, blows me away. Murray's got your headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Baseball and more Mavs.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shot toward the alley. Arroyo trying to get there. Makes a spectacular play. A diving play. It's Rev Snyder out there with a sensational catch. Rob Rev Snyder leaving his feet to haul that one in. And steal a double.
Well, not much happened in this game for the first 7 innings or so, but the last inning has been absolutely terrific theater. This is a sensational catch by Rob Rev Snyder.
Wow.
He's pretty much flat out in the right center field. I mean, some of these plays, Obi, and look, I get it, it's entertainment. Sometimes you see a guy make a diving catch in right center field, it's a little dressed up. Well, that one didn't need to be dressed up.
All right, I've done enough bitching. It's not going to stop me from doing more. But at least I've gotten it out of my system. That win, that loss on Saturday night, I'm sorry. A bullpen fails like that, and you don't have the horses at the back end of the bullpen to close out games against teams that you're going to be competing with for a playoff spot. You know, I don't want to hear about how it's the middle of June and don't worry about it when you've done it 9 times. 9 freaking times. Those are, if the Red Sox end up missing the postseason by a game or two, we are going to look at that and say they wasted way too much time addressing the holes in that bullpen. So it is a fatal flaw. They don't have enough out there, and they haven't had enough out there for 2 years. It's like the first base situation as well. Just keep patching it together at first base and see how it goes. Meanwhile, you play all these games, you pile up some losses along the way. Last year, you made the playoffs, although Chaim Bloom himself said, let's not forget, we were within a whisker of missing it entirely. So the margin for error on this Red Sox team is razor thin, and that should frustrate you when you have a $240 million payroll, let alone in an area that is clearly more important than it's ever been in the history of the game, and that is the bullpen, okay? So let me just leave that aside for a minute. On Sunday, boy, did the Red Sox bounce back. And I give them all the credit in the world for this, starting with Cutter Crawford, who in a pinch had to start because the Red Sox were going to push back. Let's see, that would have been Evaldi's turn, I believe, originally. He is on the injured list as well. And so the Red Sox were trying to, my guess is they were trying to piece it in such a way that that Tanner Houck might have been able to start the game, but they needed him out of the bullpen on Friday. So Cutter Crawford started instead. He was terrific. Five innings, much better than he had been out of the bullpen. Certainly something to keep an eye on. It was a 0-0 game going into the eighth. When Rafael Devers, with two outs, hit one over the left field wall in a pitch that was just short of letter high and a foot off the plate to the outside part. Still got the barrel on it and lined it over the left field wall. That came after Rob Refsnyder was hit with a pitch to get on first base with two outs. Okay, it was amazing. Amazing sequence of events. Then, in the bottom half of the inning, the Red Sox made two absolutely stellar defensive plays, including the catch by Refsnyder, which you just heard. And I dump on outfielders all the time for dressing up catches and making them look more sensational or spectacular than they really are, because half the time those guys don't even need to jump. This was legit. This ball was smoked into the gap. Smoked. Ty France absolutely labeled this thing for right center field. It looked like certain extra bases. Refsnyder, who had been in center earlier in the game and moved to right in place of Christian Arroyo just before that half inning, went on a full sprint back into his right, dove, jumped like it was an airborne dive to his right and caught the ball while basically he was horizontal or parallel to the ground. Incredible catch. And I've seen some good ones, and that one was right up there. And we can talk about plays where guys scale the wall and have done all kinds of crazy things. But in terms of a crack of the bat, running at full speed, having to lay out to get it in a 2-0 game in the bottom of the eighth, ooh, the stakes were high, and this was a terrific, terrific catch by Rob Refsnyder. The Red Sox then nailed it down in the ninth. That, too, was Tanner Houck. And they end up getting out of Seattle with a series win and end up going 8-2 on the road trip. So as devastating as that loss was on Saturday night, and it was, the bounce back on Sunday was really, really good. And starting with Crawford and then again nailing it down late with two absolutely terrific defensive plays. Let's go to Al and Lowell. Al, what do you got?
So I don't necessarily disagree with anything that you've said, but I would say that on that road trip, didn't they win 5 one-run games? That's on the bullpen too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yep, and they did. And I would say they squeaked out a couple. So you're not wrong to say that, Al. I'm talking about the bigger picture. Okay, the bigger picture. There's no way you should lose that game on Saturday night because you don't have a closer or you don't have enough arms in the bullpen. So they won a 1-0 game in Anaheim on Monday. They won another 1-0 game in Anaheim on Wednesday. They then won a 4-3 game in Seattle on Friday night. That one was a little dicey. The bullpen got shaky in that one. And again, the Red Sox were walking a minefield in that one. They could have very easily lost that game as well. But then they lost the one on Saturday and won the one on Sunday. So what I would tell you is in Seattle, they flirted with disaster on Friday night. They narrowly escaped it. And then on Saturday, it bit them in the ass. So did the bullpen do okay on the trip? Yes, but I come back to the bigger thing. You know, the people who want to study the numbers always want to throw the big picture in my face. So someone will say, well, you know, the Red Sox bullpen actually on this trip did pretty well, as the caller just said. Didn't they win all these one-run games? The bullpen's part of that, too. Sure. Yes, absolutely. They're also 32-29. When they have a good roster, and they should be neck and neck with Toronto and Tampa. Now, the Yankees have blistered the field. The Yankees are on a playing 733 ball. The last time I checked, they were on a pace to win 118 games.
They're still 12 and a half back, right?
I checked. But my only point, Murray, is this. Kate, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't be focused on the Yankees. What I'm saying is if the Yankees run out and win 115 games, well, you weren't going to get them anyway.
Well, sure.
You weren't going to catch them anyway. But Toronto and Tampa, basically 10 games over 500, those two teams, that's where you should be right now. So let's not all get all giddy about the fact that the Red Sox are three games over 500 and they went 8-2. It took them a ridiculous amount of effort to get back to here because their offense was bad early in the year and their late inning bullpen blows.
Well, right. Like I said, even I can do the dumb math. Had they won five of those games, or those nine that they've blown there, they'd be in a better wild card spot.
So I'm just waiting for the analytics people to tell me, well, the big picture, look where they are big picture, and of late the bullpen's been pretty good. I would say forget of late. It's a big picture thing. For the year, they suck. Not good enough. Matt is in New Hampshire. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. I just want to the Red Sox have played 61 games this year, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and they've been tied after the fifth inning 44 of those times.
Is that right?
That's correct. It's 72%. I'll do the math for you.
44 out of the 61 games they've been tied after five innings?
Yes, I live in New Hampshire, and I bet the first five innings of games, so I know that.
Okay, so Matt, I'll take your word for it, but I'm going to need evidence. Like, that feels like an inordinately high number.
They are 11-6 in the first five innings.
So the rest of the time, they've only played 17 games in which, so you bet them in the first five innings every night?
No, I track it.
Okay. Murray, you buy that?
Yeah, he seemed pretty, I don't know, like it didn't seem like he was full of it or anything like that. Like he was pulling it out of his butt.
Okay, so they played 61 games.
The gamblers typically know. That's why I take his word for it.
This guy's telling me they're 11-6 after five innings, so the other 44 games they're tied. 44 times out of 61 games they've been tied after six innings, after five innings? That doesn't sound right.
It does sound high.
And I would tell you that they're 11-6, which means they're five over. So all those games then, they're losing more than they win. Right, all those tie games after five innings, if those are true, they're losing more than they win, which I would tell you again is a reflection on the bullpen. So maybe that's what he's trying to do is fortify my argument. I don't know. I find that hard to believe. 44 times tied after the fifth inning? I think that's bullcrap. I'm calling bullcrap.
Okay.
I am calling complete total bullcrap. He's got something wrong. I mean, he's got some sort of calculation wrong. I don't think that's legit. 617-779-0985. We'll give you the performer of the week and give you a little news item today that I get Jim Murray a little bit irritated, too. He touched on it earlier in the show. It involves Chris Sale. We'll tell you what's going on there when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Red Sox open a three-game series against the Oakland A's tonight over at Fenway Park. Played Oakland in Oakland a little over a week ago. Beat the snot out of them out there. I would suggest they do the same here. This Oakland team blows.
I mean, they ripped it down to the nubs, right? Like, there's no names on that team anymore.
Nobody. And this is really the embarrassing part of baseball right now. Like, look at this. Oakland is 21-41. They traded off just about anybody and everybody from that team at the beginning of the season. Matt Chapman went to the Blue Jays. Matt Olson, the first baseman, went to the Braves.
Mania's gone too, isn't he? The pitcher.
Oh, yeah, the lefty.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking the other kid, the right-hander, Frankie. Never mind.
I think Mania went to the Padres.
He did. Yes, yeah. He did. You're absolutely right, Murray, the left-hander. Yes, he did. And the kid who pitched against the Red Sox out there, Montes, is that right? He's still there, but he's going to be gone at the deadline. They're going to ship his ass out of there, too. This is embarrassing for baseball. Like, do you have a team that just completely strips it down? I think Oakland's payroll now is in the $30 million area, something like that. I'll see if I can find that out. It is pathetic. It is absolutely freaking pathetic what their payroll is. And the Orioles aren't much better. So this is one of the real problems with baseball. That said, since they suck, there's nothing that precludes you from absolutely beating the snot out of them, which is what the Red Sox should do. Winning 2 out of 3 in a series like this, honestly, is kind of a loss. That is the bare minimum. You really should sweep them, especially in your ballpark. And then quickly, because Murray had a news item today on Chris Sale. Murray, you said he threw to live hitters. Was that today or yesterday?
I think that was yesterday. So he was at Fenway, though, today, continuing his rehab, talked to some reporters. But that live BP, I believe, was yesterday.
Okay. So he hit 96 on the gun. Murray says he's not taking the cheese on Chris Sale.
Well, I'm not taking the cheese on 96, too, on the gun either. And it's been so long, Maz, that this guy has been able to stay healthy. Like, sure, he'll come back. And he even said today he'd be more than willing to initially pitch in relief. So, okay, yeah, maybe they do use him in the bullpen. How long is he going to last? Like, you can't hold out hope for Chris Sale right now.
Okay, so I'll leave people with this today. I disagree with you on one, and I agree with you on the other. I agree with you on not taking the cheese. Can't rely on him. Who the hell knows? It's been 4 years since he's been healthy. I hate the idea of putting him in the bullpen. Can I say that right now? Hate it. Even though they need people out there, I would tell you that, well, you have a guy coming off all kinds of injuries, and now what? You're going to pitch him 3 times a week? That's the idea? So typically, the starters stay on a starter routine. Some guys can handle the workload, some can't. I would say that, now, Chris Sale started his career as a reliever. They moved him to a starter. He did fade down the stretch when the workload increased. Has always had that problem. But I would also tell you that, you know, for the first 4 months of a season, he was pretty good. And he's not going to join you before July. I mean, it's June 14th. He's just thrown to live hitters. He's got at least a few weeks to go. So I would rather have him in the rotation. Here's the part I disagree with you on, Murray. I do believe the 96. And I'll tell you why. The Tommy John guys typically 2 years out get their velocity back. So I could totally see Sale's velocity being at 96.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.